Welcome to Pastor to Pastor, a ministry podcast with Pastor Mike Stone of Emmanuel Baptist Church in Blackshear, Georgia. More information is available at PastorMikeStone.com. And now, here's Pastor Mike.
Welcome back. This is Pastor Mike Stone, and I'm so glad you could join us again for another episode of Pastor to Pastor. A quick reminder, my regular preaching ministry is on a different podcast called the Emmanuel Pulpit, and we spell the word Emmanuel with an E. But this podcast is a weekly time of practical information and insight from my heart as a pastor in a local church where I've served nearly 25 years. And the episodes I'll publish near the end of the week will address matters related to the Southern Baptist Convention. As you may know, I'm an announced candidate for the presidency of the SBC, which holds its annual meeting in Nashville, Tennessee, this June. But at the first of the week, I like to share some simple information early enough in the week to help pastors in the daily and weekly challenge of pastoring the local church biblically and faithfully. And one of the ways I want to do that is by providing some sermon starters, a few sermon ideas and resources, including a weekly free sermon outline. I'm a writer and regular contributor on the Sermon Search website, and you can find a lot of my messages there in full, complete manuscript. But I like to share just an outline here each week as my gift to the busy pastor. With Easter Sunday coming up, I've chosen to share another message from my verse-by-verse series through 1 Corinthians. It's a message entitled The Grave Robber. It's a message about how the resurrection of Jesus Christ guarantees the future bodily resurrection of all those who have died in Christ. And of course, it's drawn from the closing verses of 1 Corinthians 15, that wonderful resurrection chapter of the Bible. Pastor, you can find a link to my sermon podcast there where you can listen to my treatment and application of the text. And if the full sermon or just the outline can help you in your sermon preparation, I pray you'll feel free to use it, receive it as a blessing from for the glory of God and the strengthening of your church. Well, speaking of sermon preparation, I want to take just a few minutes today to talk about one of the most challenging aspects of getting a sermon ready to preach. And for me, it's the issue of sermon illustrations. My biggest struggle homiletically is typically not the exegesis or the application of the text, but finding a good illustration, either to close out one of the main points or maybe just a good captivating introduction or a compelling conclusion that really drives home the message of the text. Let me begin with where I think we should begin, because I think the best source of sermon illustrations is indeed the Bible itself. Someone once asked the commentator John Phillips for his opinion of the best commentary on the book of the Revelation. You may remember Dr. Phillips was known for his emphasis on eschatology. And the great preacher remarked that the other 65 books of the Bible, that's really the best commentary on the book of the Apocalypse. It's certainly true the best commentary on any Bible passage is the rest of the Bible, but I think it's equally true that the best illustration of a Bible truth may well be in another Bible text. You know, the scripture says of itself that the Old Testament stories were written as an example, as an admonition for us. Some of those are positive examples, things we should do, the kind of people we should be. And of course, there are negative examples, cautionary tales from the pages of Old and New Testament alike. Pastor, as we prepare our sermons, we ought to ask ourselves, are there any characters in the Bible who have demonstrated this positive attribute? It's also another way that we can just show the continuity of the Bible, that the Bible is not a collection of independent vignettes, but rather it's just one long narrative. It's one big, bold, grand story that points to the Lord Jesus. When preaching about faith, I might illustrate with the life of Abraham. Turning back to the Genesis account, I would quickly highlight one or two occasions from his life where he modeled the kind of faith that God calls us to walk in. If I were preaching about obedience, I might mention how the priests stepped into the waters of the Jordan, carrying the Ark of the Covenant on their shoulders, trusting that the waters of the Jordan would stop flowing. If I were preaching about courage for the sake of the gospel, obviously you could go to Daniel in the lion's den, or maybe walk with the three Hebrew boys into the fiery furnace. And obviously there are plenty of negative examples to use. There's the tragedy of Lot and Lot's wife, the great sin of David with Bathsheba, Moses in anger striking the rock the second time, and the list of negative examples could unfortunately go on and on and on. There is one caution to keep in mind these days, depending on your audience. We are preaching these days largely to a biblically illiterate crowd. And with most of us streaming live on Facebook and other online platforms, you never know who the sovereignty of God has brought by your live stream broadcast. So I generally try to allow enough time to recount the Bible story that I'm using as an illustration, at least enough of it to illustrate the larger point that I'm trying to make. Of course, keep in mind that one purpose of any illustration is to allow for a tension and release, the ebb and flow that is often so needful in a sermon delivery. So taking 2 to 3 minutes to tell a compelling Bible story may be helpful in more ways than one, especially if you're in the midst of a tough exegesis of the text. But keep in mind, when Jesus said, "Remember Lot's wife," he was speaking to a people that he knew could, well, remember Lot's wife. And that may or may not be the case in the place where you're preaching. Jesus illustrated his sermons with Old Testament stories, and if that approach was good enough for the master teacher, I think it's something we ought to regularly use in our sermons too. So the best source of sermon illustrations, I think, is the Bible itself. But there's another great place you can find illustrations, and that's on the road of life. I mean, personal stories are always powerful. Who doesn't love a good, compelling testimony? Now, there are plenty of cautions you want to employ here. You want to balance transparency on one hand with what in South Georgia we call TMI, you know, too much information. I've known pastors that in their attempt to be real were real unwise with just sharing too much information, especially about spiritual failures and shortcomings. And certainly if your story involves other family members or members of the church in a potentially embarrassing way, you want to be sure you have their permission and blessing to use that story. This past year for Christmas, I bought my wife a coffee mug and has an inscription on it that says, "You'd better straighten up or you're going to end up in a sermon illustration." Now, my wife is a gifted Bible teacher who speaks at a lot of women's events and women's Bible conferences, and there have been plenty of times that one or more of our four kids have provided the perfect illustration of a Bible truth, whether I was preaching in a place on Sunday or if she was out at a women's event. In either case, you want to be sure you have everybody's permission, especially your older children, if you want to use certain stories from the life of your family. I also think it's wise to not overuse personal stories, and be careful to not always make yourself the spiritual hero in every personal illustration. Mix in some of the stories of the times where you just blew it and you fell short of the glory of God. For example, one year while we were on family vacation, our whole church family was trying to memorize Ephesians 4:29. It was a church-wide month-long memory verse. And Ephesians 4:29 is where Paul exhorts us, "Be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you." Well, on our vacation, we were at a theme park, and there were some kids being really rude, you know, breaking in line and yelling and screaming and such. I didn't say anything to them, but I have to confess, my heart was filled with anger and frustration. And in that moment, the Spirit of God convicted my soul with the very Bible passage I'd been memorizing from Ephesians 4:29. As I was maybe not honoring these young children with my thoughts, the Spirit of God said, "And be kind to one another, tender-hearted." And the rest of that verse just really brought me under deep spiritual conviction. A few weeks later, when I was preaching about the sanctifying power of the Word of God from Psalm 119:11, I recounted that story along with some self-deprecating humor, and it seemed to be very well received. I think people can relate to that, because real life can be an excellent and very relatable source of sermon illustrations. In recent years, I've typed out those personal illustrations almost word for word into my sermon notes before I archive them and put them in my own sermon library. 5 years from now, your pulpit notes may not be very much use to you if all they say is, "Tell the story about the lady at Walmart." So I would encourage you, preacher, write those stories out in detail, at least for your historical purposes, if you want to revisit that sermon for a future message in revival or maybe at a conference or perhaps even at a funeral. Write it out in detail so you can remember it later. And as a footnote, this is a very practical benefit of good sermon planning. Whether you're in a book series or a topical series, if you know where you're headed in the pulpit over the next few weeks, you can take better advantage of real-life stories as they happen. You might have an opportunity to save that story, maybe in a file on your computer or on a notepad or the Notes app on your smart device. You can save that story for a sermon you're planning to preach in 3 to 4 weeks. Another good source of sermon illustrations is Google News. Now, Pastor, you may not even be aware of this feature on the Google website, but just like you can search for websites and images and other things on Google, you can search for news stories. And for me personally, these current events make better illustrations than most of the ones in those old, dry, stale sermon illustration books, in part because they really are news stories. And depending on what it is, many of the members of your congregation may already be familiar with that story, and it shows us source of personal, practical life application to a story that's maybe already in the cultural narrative. I just go to Google, put in a keyword, and hit the News tab. And usually there are lots of newspaper stories and other articles that are immediately returned. Not long ago, I was preaching from Hebrews 12 about finishing the race. And I went to Google News and typed in something like running the race. And lots of really neat stories were suddenly available. Many of them were about people who finished races and won some type of award, but one was about somebody who failed to finish a race. They had an injury just near the finish line. With a couple of clicks, I had great sermon illustrations for the message I was preparing. And the last time I preached on Judas Iscariot, I went to Google News, typed in the word counterfeit, and got some great recent stories about counterfeit money. And of course, the connection to Judas as a counterfeit is rather obvious. And once when I was preaching a sermon out of Hebrews 12:15 on that root of bitterness, I put the word bitterness in Google News and wow, found a story from the previous week. It was only 3 days old at that time, about a man in Detroit, Michigan, who was being released from prison after being wrongly incarcerated for 25 years. DNA evidence proved he could not possibly have committed the crime for which he had been wrongly imprisoned for a quarter of a century. But coming out of that Detroit prison, he told the local newspaper, "Too much of my life has already been taken. I don't have time to live the rest of my life with bitterness and anger." As I read that quote, I thought, man, if I can't use that headline in a sermon on bitterness, I need to find another job. Now, sometimes you'll have to experiment with the keywords in the search engine on Google, but I think you'll find Google News is a reliable source of great current illustrations based on sort of ripped from the headlines events. Finally, other preachers' sermons are great sources of illustrations. Personally, I use the Sermon Audio app a good bit to listen to other messages from faithful preachers. That app, if you're not familiar with it, lets you search for sermons by Bible passage or by Bible topics or even by a preferred preacher. But within a few clicks, you can usually avail yourself of dozens of sermons on the text or the topic that you're studying for your upcoming sermon. For me, I usually do that late in the sermon writing process, after I've done all of my exegetical work and most of the application work. But it's not uncommon for someone like Steve Lawson or John MacArthur to share an illustration that fits right into my sermon. And in my opinion, if you've never gotten at least a one-liner from Adrian Rogers or Chuck Swindoll, I'm not sure you're doing sermon preparation the right way. It's very important, of course, to have integrity when using someone else's sermon illustration. Never, ever, ever, I mean never, ever, ever tell someone else's personal story as your own. That's not called sermon preparation. That's called lying. And I don't believe the Lord will honor that when we're trying to preach truth and using a lie to prop it up. But there have been many times I've heard a preacher tell a personal story, and it reminded me of a personal story of my own, a very similar event in my own life that made the same point. And even if that's not the case, Pastor, it's just too easy to say, I was listening to Adrian Rogers the other day, and he told a powerful story on this point, and then tell that story as an Adrian Rogers story. Now, for me, I try to be very careful to never quote by name a preacher that I could not support doctrinally. In that case, I still might use the illustration and just say, I recently heard a story about such and such, and I'd tell the story without naming the preacher. That way you can have integrity in relating somebody else's story without giving an unintended endorsement of the preacher you may not want to otherwise endorse. And now one final word of caution, and we've probably all been guilty of this at some point. Make sure the illustrations you use don't overpower or overshadow the sermon itself. One of the worst things that could happen to any of us from a preaching perspective is to have somebody ask one of our members on Monday, "What did your pastor preach about yesterday?" Only to have them respond, "I don't remember the sermon, but he told the funniest story." Now that's always a danger, and much of the responsibility is in the heart and the ear of the listener. But the faithful preacher will seek to avoid that danger as much as possible. Don't let the biblical text illustrate your illustration, but rather the other way around. Let me repeat that. Don't let the biblical text illustrate your illustration, but rather the other way around. Let Jesus be the star of the sermon. Exalted by the accurate proclamation of Scripture and illustrated and applied through well-timed and well-told stories, anecdotes, and other illustrations. Well, that'll wrap it up for this episode. We try to stay in a brief time frame. But don't forget, in the show notes, there's a link to a free sermon outline about the resurrection, and there's a podcast related to that bodily resurrection of the saints. Pastor, if you can use that during Easter week or any other time, I pray it's a blessing to you and to your ministry. This Thursday, when I would typically address some of the opportunities for leadership in the Southern Baptist Convention, I plan to begin sharing some of the audio from a Facebook Live interview that's going to be conducted later this week. In the meantime, this is Pastor Mike Stone asking you to subscribe to this new podcast, share it with a friend, and make plans to join me each week as we sit down and visit Pastor to Pastor.